Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
You know, sometimes when you read the Word of God, if you just notice, you notice certain words. And you, have you ever noticed that the word more, how often the word more is used in connection with what God wants to do for us? You know, I guess sometimes I notice things different than different other people. But, you know, I believe that it's used so many times that it really shows us that God, you know, thinks about more than we do. What we think is enough, he says, no, more than enough. You know, Jesus said this, and I believe it's important. Matthew 7:11. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask? And then again, it says in the English, contemporary English, it says, but your heavenly Father is even more ready to give. And then in the J.B. Phillips, it says, how much more likely is your heavenly Father to give you good things? And the Living Bible says, won't your Father in heaven even more certainly give good gifts? You know, all of these, I think, help us to have a better understanding of how much more God wants to do for us. You know, God's very nature is far beyond what we can even imagine. The character and nature is more than any earthly father could ever give. And every earthly father tries to do his best. And then Jesus made this statement about himself when he said in John 10:10, and we all know it, we use it a lot, the thief comes but to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that you might have it more. What? Life abundantly. The Amplified Version, the classic, I came that you might have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. The J.B. Phillips says, I came to bring them life and far more life than before. You notice how many times that word more is in there? And then the Message says, I came so they can have real eternal life, more better life than they ever dreamed. And the Wycliffe translation says, I came that they might have life and have it more plenteous. You know, these verses indicate to us that God is not just satisfied with having just enough to get by. He wants more than enough. You know, in one of the scriptures direct, it says the word abundance in the Greek carries the meaning of pertaining to quantity so abundant as to be considerably more than what one would expect or anticipate. You know, God wants us to have a life of more spiritual blessings, more material blessing, more physical and mental blessings, more financial blessings. And everybody wants to get involved on that one, I know. You know, we need to understand how much more we can have if we really begin to understand how much God wants us to have. It's more than we have ever even thought of. You know, no matter how good something is, God has much more. You know, whenever we cannot do something, God still has much more. He can do it. You know, now, here's a good illustration that you might come up with. What we can do by ourselves compared to what God can do can be illustrated, I guess, like this. You know, How many of you have ever had to use a handsaw? Right? Now, you can take a handsaw and, and you got one guy on one end, one on the other, and you can saw down a tree. Or you can saw a board. I mean, if you got an 8-foot board and you're trying to cut off 4 inches of it, you got it with a handsaw, it takes some energy. You can do it. But you know what? If you get a chainsaw, it's so much easier to cut down that tree or to saw with a power saw. Now, you see, the handsaw depends on our strength. But when we have a power saw in our hand or a chainsaw in our hand, we depend on the power that's in the saw. Right? But now we do need to have knowledge of how to use the power or tap into that power. Right? Because using those pieces of equipment without some knowledge can get you in trouble. It can even get you cut, you know. And I in high school, I took 2 years of wood shop, and one of the first things that they did before we ever did anything else is take us in the shop and to show us all of the safety precautions that we needed to use when using the table saw and the hand saw and all of these sort of things and the routers and the lathes and all of those things. You know, we had to have knowledge. Now, God don't intend on us to depend on our own strength to live our Christian life, but we can't live it in line with His more unless we get in the Word of God and have some knowledge. You know, you can only go as far as you have knowledge. Is that correct? You know, but I want us to connect with the much more God. Turn to your neighbor and say, much more God. See, in Genesis 17:1, God declares Himself as the much more God. When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said to him, I am Almighty God, El Shaddai. Walk before me and be blameless. I will make my covenant between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly. Here we see God identifying Himself to Abraham as El Shaddai. Now, William Wilson in the Wilson's Old Testament Word Study says, the name El Shaddai has the meaning of God's infinite sufficiency for Himself and all other beings, implying God as the all-bountiful being. Thus we see El Shaddai is the all-sufficient one, or we would say it in our language, the God who is more than enough. El Shaddai goes beyond what we can ask or think. He goes beyond the natural. In the natural, it was impossible for Abraham to have descendants. But God is not limited by the natural. So many times you run into, as you're living your life, you run into all of these situations in the natural, and the enemy starts telling you, well, it's all over, that's it. But no, wait a minute. You've got a what kind of God? Much more God. Woo, that ought to get somebody excited. Hallelujah. You know, God in His covenant with Abraham, El Shaddai made a covenant with Abraham. And actually, if you go read Galatians 3:13 and 14, then you see that that covenant that God made with Abraham is to come to us as the spiritual descendants. So just as God said to Abraham, I am El Shaddai, he is saying to us, I am El Shaddai for you too. According to Galatians 3, 13 and 14. Anybody ever read that? Yeah. Now, God is a too much God. He gives us an overflowing. You know, I already read it there in John 10, 10. To have life, enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. He's a too much God. Sometimes somebody says, oh, that's too much. It's never too much with God. And then Psalms 23:5 says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. You know, it says in Luke 6:38, if you give, he'll give it back to you. How's he going to give? Pressed down, shaken together, and barely getting by. Running over is too much. The container can't contain it. That's the kind of God we have. That's the kind of God that wants to bless you. He's a too much God. He's a more than enough God. Ooh. I don't know about you. I get excited about stuff like that. Because we don't have to be, it doesn't have to be same old every day. It can be much more, much more, much more. Hey, every day is a much more day. Well, that's a good statement. I just thought of that. Turn to your neighbor and say, every day is a much more day with God. That's a good statement. We ought to write that one down. Put it on our refrigerator. You know, any of you stick notes on refrigerators? Yeah. Or on a mirror, you know, that's a note, you know, today is a much more day with God. Amen. You see, here, God doesn't think like we do. You know, he thinks his thoughts and his ways, the Bible says his thoughts and his ways are higher than ours. You know, God really wants to do more for us than we've ever even thought about. We got to change our thinking from natural to God's kind of thinking. More than enough. Whoa, hallelujah. You know, we might try to reason something out in our mind. This will never enable us to get a hold of the blessings of God. You can't reason this out. You can't explain it. Just enjoy it. Somebody said, can you explain that to me? No, I just believe it. Amen. It's when you begin to think in line with God's word that you begin to understand the much more God, the too much God. Hello. You know. We were talking about tithes and offerings a while ago. Think about God's promises with tithes and offerings. Malachi 3:10, you all know it. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour you out such a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. That's a much more blessing, isn't it? The NLT says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse so that there will be room, there will be enough food in my temple. If you do, says the Lord of heaven's armies, I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out blessings so great you won't have enough room to take it in. Try it. Put me to the test. The easy to read version says, the Lord all powerful says, Try this test. Bring one-tenth of your things to me. Put them in the treasury. Bring food to my house. Test me. If you do these things, I will surely bless you. Good things will come to you like rain falling from the sky. You will have more than enough of everything. More than enough of everything. Not just a few things, everything. This verse shows us that what God wants to do for us, and he wants to give us blessings beyond what we can ask or think or what we're capable of even containing. But it goes back, are we willing to do what God told us to do to get the more than enough blessing? Oh, you got quiet on me there. You know, God will be as good as you allow him to be. He will be a much more God as much as you allow him. The question is, do you want to do what God tells you to do so that he can be that much more God? Oh, now you're not shouting as much as you was a while ago. Now we got you having to do something. You having to make some changes. Long as it was God pouring it out, ooh, yeah. But now when I start talking about doing what God said to in the Word, all of a sudden it takes on a different atmosphere. Come on now. It's one of those things that we talk about. It's easier to talk about it than it is to do it. Because if you're going to do some things to get the much more blessing, you're going to have to bring the flesh under control. You ought to be shouting now. See, as we look at this, God wants us to walk in the abundant and the much more overflowing life. That's what he wants. But he can only give as much, excuse me, as you allow him to. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, he can only do as much as you do according to the Word of God. I've had people talk to me over the years, oh, I'm praying that the Lord will bless me financially. I said, well, did you give anything in the offering? Oh, no, I didn't give anything in the offering. I just can't afford to do that. I looked at him and I said, you can't afford not to. You're praying for blessing, yet you're not doing what you're told to do in the Word of God. Now some say, oh, you're talking about, hold up, we're talking about finance. He's probably going to take an offering. No, I'm not going to take an offering. But I'm trying to help you to be able to have that much more life. You know, Jesus said we could have and enjoy life and have it to the abundance or till it overflowed. Now, what made all of this possible? What he did on the cross. Everything became possible when he died on the cross and rose again. Every spiritual and material blessing that it talks about in the Word of God became a reality for you and I. Most of the time, we shortchange ourselves because we think in line according to what we deserve because of how we have acted and what we have done. But that's not the way God thinks. You see, you know, many times if we've been doing pretty good, you know, walking with the Word and everything, well, we think, okay, we can ask God for something. But then we've slipped and messed up and we ask for forgiveness and but then we don't want to ask for the abundant blessing because, oh, I don't deserve that. If you've asked for forgiveness and you've been forgiven by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, you deserve everything that the Word says belongs to you. It's our thinking sometimes that stops us from receiving the blessing. And so many times it has come, you don't realize it, but it's come through the years of hearing this person say this and this person say that and this person say this and this one say that until you have formed some opinions that are not in line with the Word of God. Do you understand that? Do you realize that you form opinions about people that you don't know because you heard somebody say this about them, or you heard somebody say this about him, and after you heard two or three people put something, you put it all together, and this is the kind of person that is. And once you get to know that person, you say, they're not that kind of person at all, right? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah. You see, that kind of thinking that we don't deserve it robs us of what God intended for us to have. Never in the scripture are we told to walk with God according to what we feel or what we think we deserve. Instead, we're to believe the promises of God and walk in them. What is that? The much more. The much more. You know, the real truth is, we don't deserve any of it on our own merit. But we deserve it now because we have accepted Christ Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Therefore, we have become a new person in Christ. Old things are not there. They don't exist anymore. All things have become new. So now we deserve what the Word of God says. It all goes back to understanding who you are in Christ and what you have in Christ. That's some of the most important things that you can find out, is who you are in Christ and what you have in Christ. Everybody always talked about Dad and his faith. Actually, one of his strongest things that he used to teach that people didn't pick up on was who you are in Christ. Actually, the authority of the believer comes from knowing who you are in Christ. Come on. I'm looking back there to see if I can get Doug shaking his head. So see, I know. I know I'm doing good if Doug's shaking his head. No. I was doing that because I know Doug spent a lot of time with Dad. And I do know that he knows that this was one. Actually, Dad, people were always talking about his faith, but really, as far as I'm concerned, Dad was known more for his love walk and his prayer life and who you are in Christ. Hello. All right, let's go on. No one is entitled to the blessings of God on their own. We're entitled to the much more because of what Christ did at Calvary. The answer to all of our problems, the answer to our abundant life, is found in what Christ did for us at Calvary. The abundant life of God became available through his death, burial, and resurrection. Now, let's go here for just a moment to Matthew 6. And let's look at three things that we're told here. Now, in Matthew 6, everybody wants to go to 6:33. Well, let's start out with 30. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So really, when we begin to look at Matthew 6, Here, he says, if we exercise our faith, he'll take care of our needs. If God so clothed the grass of the field, will he not much more clothe you? Now that means, that word there could and probably does mean more than clothes. It means everything that we need. But it's all based back on faith. Here he said it. See, the reason why some people don't see much happening is because they don't have no faith. They don't have the much more because they don't have the faith. You know, little faith brings little blessing. Much faith brings many blessings. Come on. You know. And the good news is that you can have much faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. Romans 10:17. See, we've got to learn to speak the much more promises before anything shows up. Some people get excited after the much more shows up. If you're going to get the much more, you got to start declaring it before it ever happens. Speaking it into existence by faith. Hello. Now, number two, it talks about in 31, to resist the impulse to worry. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? See, worry kills your faith. Worry focuses on the problem and the impossibilities and actually opens the door for the devil to come in. Worry comes from the enemy. We're to resist worry because worry will bring fear. Fear will bring the spirit of torment and will cause you to receive nothing. Now, this doesn't say, you know, some people say, well, that means don't be concerned. No, go look up the two words, worry and concern. They're two different meanings. It doesn't mean you're not concerned about some things. But the reason when you're concerned about them, then you go to the Word of God. You find the Word of God for that. You put the Word of God on your concern, but then you just stay with the Word. You don't worry about it. Let me understand where I'm coming from. You understand that statement? Okay. Now, of course, then we go to 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his right, and all these things will be added to you. So the number one thing with God is that we keep our focus on the things of God, his kingdom. God wants us to have things, but he does not want things to have us. He wants us to have him. You know, when we get our priorities right, isn't it amazing how everything falls into order, falls into line? You there? You see, our priorities, and I want to go at this from backwards now. Seeking the kingdom of God. So when you seek the kingdom of God, then you don't have to worry about eating, what you're going to be, whether you're going to have water to drink. You don't have to worry about what you're going to wear. And if you exercise faith, then all of these things are going to come. See, going it from the backwards. How many see what I'm saying to you? Or we go from the other way. Now, all of these things, you know, if we have faith and we don't have to worry about any of these things, if we get back down here to 33, if we're putting and focusing on the kingdom of God and his righteousness first. You know, see, when you begin to realize these three conditions and begin to come in line with them, then the El Shaddai shows up. And he begins to bring things to you that you've been talking about. Do you realize that El Shaddai has never seen a need that he can't meet? El Shaddai has never seen a problem that's too big for him. Now, we have seen many needs that we can't meet. We have seen many problems in the natural that we can't meet. So therefore, let's go to the Word, get the Word of God on whatever problem it is or whatever need it is, and then have faith in El Shaddai to take care of it. The more than enough God. See, when you see that God is a much more God, you'll begin to be able to believe that he'll meet your need in the middle of your worst trial. You'll begin to understand that abundance is yours even though you don't see it yet. I say all the time, I have abundance. Why do I say that? Because that's what the Bible says. See, you have to say what the Bible says about you in order to receive it. I don't know how many times a man that had my same name would tell me, son, you got to say what the Bible says about you. Not what somebody else says, not what you think. What does the Bible say about you? The Bible says that I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. The Bible says that all of my needs are met according to his riches and glory. The Bible says that no weapon formed against me will prosper. The Bible says that I'm more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. The Bible says I always triumph in Christ Jesus. I mean, I say it that way. Paul said he always leads us in triumph. But hey, you see, when you start talking about that and you begin to see the much more God. He's much more. Amen? Are you ready to live with God in the much more life? Do you believe that God will give you the much more life? Amen and amen and amen. Heavenly Father, I tried to encourage these people for a few moments today that you are more than they've ever thought about. You're more than they can ever imagine, and that you will provide for them more than they have ever thought that could be done. So help us to gain the realities of the Word of God and to live in the much more life that you want us to have. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen and amen. How many of you are ready for the much more life? Amen. Bow your heads for just a moment. Perhaps there's somebody in here today that they can't get involved with us with the much more God because they've never accepted Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior of their life. Or you may be in here and you know what it is to accept him as Lord and Savior, but you know right now that you are not living where you're supposed to live and you need to rededicate yourself to God. Anybody on any one of those invitations, let me see your hand right now. I want to pray for you. You need Christ. You need to rededicate yourself to God right now. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody anywhere in the room? Father, I thank you right now that if anyone in this building needs to accept you or to rededicate their life, I thank you that the convicting power of the Holy Spirit will go with them and they will not be able to do anything with peace until they stop and accept you. Son Jesus as the Savior of their life. In Jesus' name, amen.